So what's on your heart today,
Well,
Monsignor?
I had a very difficult gospel, and it was given, and I really want to comment on those gospels that priests and people are reading around the world. I'm here in Anaheim, and we can become very localized, and I just try to point out to my hearers here, although there were a couple thousand, and today there might be 10,000, that it's not really the subject that Jesus is going to talk about. Is for us who are going to be hearing this in Hong Kong, for those who will hear it in Scotland, for those who will be hearing it wherever in the world you are. And the gospel of today, on this 30th day of August, the Holy Church has given us from the 25th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus is coming and approaching in Jerusalem. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. And this parable is something that's very close to his Sacred Heart. He's revealing this parable to us according to Matthew. And in the 14th verse, beginning there, he tells us the parable of the talents. The kingdom of God will be as when a man who was going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately, the one who received 5 went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who had received 2 made another 2. But the one man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried it. He buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and wanted to settle accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful over a small matter, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant, gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is, the one that you have given me. I give it back." His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I did not plant, gather where I did not scatter. Should you not have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return. Now take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. You know, to come to an understanding of just what that particular text means in our modern age and society, what does this mean? I really think the key for me, as I was praying about this text, is the word lazy. In our examination of our lives, what does sloth really mean? What is spiritual sloth? I believe that this man who received the one talent is a workaholic. He never really came to God for help. The one who had 5 and the one who had 2, how do you have growth in the spiritual life? You are constantly going to God and crying out to God. You cannot rely on yourself. How does growth occur in the spiritual world? By constant crying out to God. What happened to those who received 5, more and more each day that they were going to do in their enterprises, they needed to call on God. Today, they asked me to speak about the saints. The saints that I was acquainted with, one was Mother Teresa, another was Padre Pio. These saints are constantly, what did they do? Nothing, nothing. They constantly cried out to God to do it. Whereas in the parable, the one who had 1, he didn't cry out to God for anything. He was completely self-reliant. When God asked Mother Teresa to leave the Sisters of Loretta and go out into the streets of Calcutta and take in the poorest of the poor, how was she ever going to do that? Without him, she couldn't do it at all. And the first experience she had, even in the awareness of what he was calling her to do, was in the deepest part of her heart. Every prayer has 5 talents. Do you know that your soul can see? Your soul can hear? Your soul can smell and taste and feel? Well, when this woman, Teresa, of the Sisters of Loretta, was so deeply in what? In union with God. She experienced that taste in her soul of Jesus. One of the experiences she had in prayer was the cry of Jesus on the cross, I thirst. For whom? I thirst for you, Teresa. You are the poorest of the poor. I'm coming to you. You are the nothing that I have chosen. The experience that Teresa of Calcutta had is the nothingness of who she is. And when she went to teach prayer to her sisters, the novices that were going to come, she taught them that first you must experience the longing, the burning love that Jesus has for you in your heart. Jesus is thirsting for the poorest of the poor. And who was Teresa of Calcutta? You, Teresa, are the poorest of the poor. Who was she in the eyes of Jesus? The poorest of the poor. There was no one in the whole world more poor than she. And when Jesus from the cross thirsted for her and her love, I came from heaven for you. I need you to experience my love first. And when Teresa experienced the love of Jesus for a poor soul, who's mine? And when she responded to him and his divine love, she said to him, I will do anything you tell me. Teresa, I want you to go out. And I love those in those holes on the streets, the dying. I have designated you to go out and found a community because of my love for them. I will put it in you, and you will taste it first. Then you will go out, and you will experience it. And when every soul who ever came to her, who was really genuinely the poorest of the poor, she began to see in them Jesus, and they could see it in her. There's the story they tell of a newspaper man who came and did some volunteer work in Calcutta, and he asked, and while she was picking the worms out of the body, he said, how can you do this? She said, come and see. And so she had him bathe the dying man. And when the dying man looked at this newspaper man with the eyes of Jesus, their eyes met. And this rich newspaper man saw Jesus. And then she said to him, do you see why I do it? Because you just experienced what I'm experiencing. How could you not see? The five talents that each of us has, these talents Teresa used. There are those of you who are listening to me. Do you see Jesus? Do you see the Father? Do you see the Holy Spirit? Where? In you. That's the beginning. Do you see the Father's eyes burning with love for you? Do you see Jesus' eyes burning with love for the Father? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you see Jesus in the eyes of those you meet each and every day? Do you hear Jesus in your heart? Do you taste Jesus? Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Father. Do you smell God? The freshness of God. Our hands are arising like incense. The smell. How many of us develop that power that we have, the five talents? This person, what does it take for the man who has five talents to gain five more? We must exercise constantly the relationship with the Trinity who is within us. Do you feel the union, the warmth of God, the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit in your heart? The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a fire of love. The one who had the two talents, he knew union with God was his body and his soul. His soul is united with God, but also his body. He had these two talents. According to his abilities, he used his body and his soul to give glory to God. And he gained this more growth. Through whom? Through the God who dwelt within him. The one who had the one talent took and buried it. What does that mean spiritually? He never asked God for anything. He just let it there. Buried. He didn't even put it in a bank where it could gain some interest. That once in a while, I could go and collect the interest. Once in a while, I might have some connection with God. And so he gets up in the morning and he has, no, I don't need you, God. I go to sleep. I'm too busy to go to Mass. I'm too busy to say my morning prayer. I'm so busy. I am so busy, 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 busy. The workaholic. And what did Jesus call this person? You lazy servant. You knew how intense. I gather where I did not scatter. I harvest where I did not sow. You knew that, and yet you never came to me. All you did it on your own. We have so many who are like this, self-reliant. In no way does that soul depend on God. The talent that is the one remains self-sufficient. He has the Holy Trinity, and there it is within him, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he depends on the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. He worships at the altar of his own self-reliance, never bothers God. And so what is going to happen to that soul? In this parable, Jesus is saying, throw him outside. He has been sufficient for himself. He needed no Savior. He needed no redemption. He never came to me during his entire lifetime. Sloth, spiritual sloth, is a sin. I deal with a lot of priests who really never have time to make a retreat. They really just don't. I deal with priests that haven't been to confession in years. They're doing great work. Tremendous. I'm doing this. They even may be doing miracles. Can they do that? Yeah. On your own? They think so. Producing great flocks and within themselves that are so empty. What is the only thing that makes any sense of the spiritual life? I only do the will of my Father. The one who is doing the will of God, like Padre Pio, has constantly a need to cry out to God the Father. This giant in the spiritual life with the five talents, the wounds in his hands, the wounds in his feet, the wounds in his side, every step he took was painful. You don't live this life in union with Jesus without suffering and dying every day. He had disrepute. He was suspect by his superiors that these wounds were self-induced. He was rejected just like Jesus. Jesus said, I always, always call upon my Father. The cries of Padre Pio were constant cries to the Father. Father, Father, forgive them. The rejections, the pains, the sufferings, the abandonment, the banishment, the silencing, just like Jesus. The giants like Padre Pio and Blessed Teresa of Calcutta cried to God constantly. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Jesus lived in them. He was the living Christ in them. And what did Jesus do? I always do the will of my Father. I am constantly crying to the Father. Those who are succumbed by the world never go to the Father. They are within themselves. Their plans, their activities, their work. They are always self-reliant. And the whole world is being seduced. They hardly ever could break through to God, the living God, because the I is so strong. They have the one talent, me. I serve myself. I'm centered in me. And the me, who never reaches out to God, is destroying himself. He's like the spider that lives by eating its own legs. It's consuming itself. Throw him outside where there will be the weeping. You see, because although he is self-sufficient, he's not. He's immortal. He's going to live forever. And so outside in that darkness of his own heart and mind, this is a very difficult gospel for a preacher to preach, because it makes it look as if the entrepreneur is the one who has five or the one who has two. Not so. The entrepreneur is the one who had one. And this world's entrepreneurs are the ones who self-rely and never come to God. Why? Because the only one who has anything is God. And the man who is a creature receives everything from God. Of himself, he has nothing. And if he doesn't go beyond himself, he's going to die. And the sloth that can happen to an individual who thinks and acts on himself, and what he acts on, and what he thinks, and what he is consumed by, even for love, of whom? Of himself. Yesterday was the feast of St. Augustine. Well, it was a feast of John the Baptist. But Augustine said these words, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord." You see, the way we're constructed, the way the human being is constructed, the way Teresa of Calcutta was instructed, the way Padre Pio, you know, a lot of people are, well, did he get this from his father and mother? No. They were all full of pus, just like every other son and daughter of Adam and Eve. Did she get that from her? No. She got that from her father. She has a father. And so do you, and so do I. And so he has given us each talents according to our ability. And today, as you hear this gospel, what is the power of the gifts that you have to come to God and cry to him? What is there that he wants me to do with the talents that he has given me? And when I do, when I listen to the voice of the Father, I'm going to have to constantly cry out on a basis of 24/7. What is the talent he's given me? Jesus. Who am I? You, Father, have created me to be Christ in the world.
Monsignor?
Yes.
Can I ask about potentially a subtle but very fatal trap that what I heard you saying in particular about the entrepreneur And those who are the, can we call them the entrepreneurs of the spiritual life, whether they're priests, they're lay ministers, people who, you know, are feel they're very close walking with the Lord, that the subtle trap can become that I've been given gifts. I can even say the Father has given me gifts, but the key is they're not my gifts. They're Christ. And if I don't have that understanding, as you've said, that it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and he's the minister of those gifts because of his communication with the Father within us, asking him what I should, where I should go, what I should I do this? That if I claim, if I don't have that connection, that right order with Christ and that understanding, then I perceive those gifts as mine. I have a gift for this and I'm going to do that. And I have a gift for this and I'm going to do that. And you've made that split, in essence. It's pretty subtle, but it's kind of deadly, isn't it?
Oh, you know, it's really amazing that you should ask that question, because in the same Mass, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about those gifts. And he talks about, you know, if you're listening, what gifts have you been given? And so in the first chapter of his letter to the Corinthians, beginning with the 26th verse, he says, "Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, nor many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and the despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. What do you have that you have not received?" And so just as Jesus was the recipient of everything that the Father had given him, so you are the recipient of what the Father not only created you, the Father gave you Jesus. Only in him and through him and with him do you have any power. There's nothing that you have on your own. Your gifts can become your blindness. You can fail to consider the gift and not recognize that it doesn't belong to you. It's to be used by what the Father has asked, which is constantly what the Holy Spirit, and the only one who has been able to do that in the history of humankind, is Jesus. We all go astray every day. You do, Chris, as a recipient of those gifts. I do. And so what is the cry? Holy Spirit, guide me so that I may be able to do the will of my Father. Without that, without the Trinity, we cannot live the life of the Trinity, because our life is the Trinity and we live in the Trinity. Jesus lives in us, and Jesus' life is the Spirit, and Jesus, through the Spirit, is constantly crying out. The Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts, and he cries out, "Abba, Abba, Father, you are the Potter, we are the clay, the work of your hands." What are we without the Spirit? Clay. We're unable to do anything. What a beautiful image to have. We are the clay, the work of your hands. Mold me and fashion me into the image. Can I do that? No. Of Jesus, your Son. And so we are each being fashioned. you into the daughter of God, a perfect reflection of Jesus, fashioned by the Holy Spirit to the glory of your Father. And you're living that life every day, please God. And everyone who's listening to us, Chris, has the same power of Trinitarian love.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Abba, Abba Father, you are the potter, we are the clay, the work of your hands. The problem with the one who had one talent, he was so interested in the clay that he just wound up a lazy lump. And those who cry out constantly to Abba are being formed into the image of Jesus, your Son. Amen.